What's up and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, March 3rd, 2021, the 4-year anniversary of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and the Nintendo Switch. 4 years!
Fourscore, Tim.
Fourscore as well. That voice that you just heard, of course, is the Texas Treat Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe-trotting, motherfucking head-shotting Nitro Rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
The funniest thing about that being the 4-year anniversary is I saw a tweet, I believe, someone in our community, someone we're friends with, posted, hey, happy anniversary to Horizon Zero Dawn a few weeks ago or a week ago, whatever it was.
And
I was going to retweet that and say, you know, comment down below if you started Horizon Zero Dawn and then immediately put it down a week later for Breath of the Wild. Because I feel like I did that. And so I didn't go back to Horizon Zero Dawn until later on that year. Or maybe it was like a year and a half. I don't even know when it was.
I was about to say, Andy, if you never went back, you totally should now. With
PC. I did. It was phenomenal. Oh, yeah. Horizon Zero Dawn was great. But yeah, I mean, just being at Rooster Teeth in the break room, wasting so much time talking with all of our friends about, did you find this in Breath of the Wild? I remember exploring this giant area and never climbing a tower, so I never unlocked what the map looked like. I had played for already, I don't know, 8-10 hours, and they're like, wait, why does your map look like that? I was like, I don't know, why? What do you mean? They're like, well, you're supposed you climb the towers and I was like, oh my God. They're like, you've been running around like just blind this whole time? It's like, it's a gamer, man. That's what I do.
It's just gamer instincts.
I don't need hints, man, you know?
Oh man, and those are the type of gamer instincts that we need here on Kinda Funny Games Daily, our show that happens each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, where we run you through all of the video game news that you need to know. You can watch live on Twitch, or you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or roosterteeth.com. You can also listen to it on podcast services. Just search for Kinda Funny Games Daily on the podcast service of your choice, and we'll be right there for you. Some housekeeping for you. The new Gamescast is up, also featuring Andy Cortez and Greg Miller, me, and Imran Khan returning to talk about game anniversaries and how we think they're properly being handled, improperly being handled, and, you know, what we kind of want to see from them in the future. Do we have realistic demands? Absolutely not. But what's the fun in realism, right, Andy?
Tim, Imran's back, by the way. I don't know if you know, I took it upon myself. I got the Kinda Funny credit card and I said, you name the price, Imran. All right, name a price. We'll take you back from FanBite. I offered him $400,000 a year. I thought it was a pretty good deal.
Worth
it was a good discount.
Worth every penny.
Yeah.
Imran Khan worth at least $500,000. So 400. Oof. You'll love to see it. Also, speaking of things that you love to see, we are continuing the FCF Wild Aces draft today. The final regular season squad for the Wild Aces will be drafted at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. And with all the shenanigans that we're doing, they wouldn't be possible without our beautiful patrons. Thank you very much to our Patreon producers, Mick, the nanobiologist, Abrahamson. I don't know how to say that. Abrahamson, yeah, that's probably right. Blackjack and Trent Barry. We appreciate all of you so very, very much. If you want to be a Patreon supporter, you can get this show ad-free and get the exclusive host show. So many different perks that we offer. Today, we're brought to you by Honey, Logitech, and DoorDash, but we'll tell you about that later.
Tim, who was the teen mom that kind of did porn for a while?
I feel like we know this. The teen mom show, right?
The Teen Mom Show.
Like 16 and pregnant.
I'm unfamiliar. Yeah, I'm unfamiliar.
Oh, damn. Okay. I figured that would be right up your alley. I don't know why I figured
it. Yeah,
Abrahamson makes me think that. Oh, Farrah Abraham. There we go. There we go. Couldn't think of the name.
Everyone's saying
it's Farrah. The nanobiologist.
Yeah, the nanobiologist.
But before we get to all the what is, whatever will be stuff, Andy, there's some really cool shit going on, and it wouldn't be a show of Tim and Andy if we took everything all serious. So we got to start this off with a little bit of fun. Our boy Carter Harrell, the legend, the audio legend. Greg Miller needs to give him a nickname that's better than what I can come up with. But if you're not familiar with Carter Harrell, he is the dude, the magician, the musical magician. Actually, I like that. Let's stick with that one. That comes up with all of the kind of funny jingle remixes for In Review and so on and so forth. He is so damn good. So talented that he was inspired by hearing the GameCube intro theme and turned it into a certified banger. Kev, if we could check that out.
Yeah, give me 2 seconds, though. There's just okay, I want to make sure the audio take is all the seconds in the right way. Kevin. Audio, browser.
This is one of those things where...
There it is.
This is proof positive that if you are talented and you make cool shit on the internet, it will go viral. And I don't know how viral it will go, but if it's dope, we'll, you know, I'm going to do my best to make sure it goes viral, Tim. Is, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
I'll call up Jack on Twitter, you know?
Did this. This has currently 3.8 thousand retweets. 13,000 likes, and it's well deserved. Let's check it out, Kev. Good, man. All right, now pause this.
Kev. 5 beats to study to.
So that came out February 19th. Today, he just released a new one. And knowing our audience, I think this is going to be right up their alley. Go
so
follow
sick.
At Carter Harrell. There are 2 R's and 2 L's in that on Twitter. Killing the damn game. I'm loving this, like, I don't even want to say resurgence. This kind of, like, new class of amazing musicians coming out on Twitter recently. Like, have you seen all the Alex Mulaka, I think his last name is?
The bassist, the composer?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, I love those
Lord.
Videos.
Everything he does is fucking magic. But anyways, Carter's fantastic. But before it's one news, of those, there's still one more thing I want to show.
I was going to say, it's one of those things, Tim, where I don't follow him on Twitter, and I feel, and I, that's obviously a crime, I should be, but I feel like I do because every video he posts is always on my timeline anyway, so it's just kind of like, oh, here's another tweet from this guy, and it's always like that sick-ass Bloodborne one he did. He's done one from, what, Final Fantasy? He's just done a whole lot of cool shit.
He's kind of went from, oh, here's a cool thing, to like every day composing. There's something new coming out. It's fucking fantastic.
I think the first one I saw was his version of the Sonic... Green Hill Zone. I think that's
the
first.
We watched that on Internet Explorers.
Yeah, I think that's the first one I saw. Yeah.
Yeah, he's so damn good. Anyways, very cool stuff. But the last dumb video I want to watch, not that those are dumb, but this one's definitely dumb, is this one, Andy. And I don't know if you've seen this. Not video game related, but Ludacris himself has gotten his pilot license and he knows how to fly a plane. This is real. This can only benefit our futures as a society. Anyways.
I do love that he looks back at the camera as if he doesn't know he's being recorded. Like, oh, hey.
Oh, hey. Just
you like
fly
this shit
a fucking
or what?
Plane now.
This is cool, huh?
So now let us move on to what is now and forever the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 5-point-something stories today.
The Baker's Dozen.
So here's the deal. There's a lot of PSVR stuff happening right now, Andy.
Perfect for us.
This comes from the PlayStation blog. The PSVR Spotlight returns. PSVR Spotlight, which focuses on upcoming games for PSVR, returns today. Unlike last time, we won't be making you wait too long to find out what the reveals are. All the announcements will be dropping throughout the day, every half hour, in fact, right here on the PlayStation blog, with the first happening imminently in 15 minutes at 7 a.m. Pacific, which was a couple hours ago. So not long to wait. There'll be 6 announcements in total and all new reveals of PSVR games launching later this year. They're saying we were delighted by the enthusiasm we saw from the community around last week's announcement of the next gen VR system for PS5. We'll have more to share in the future, but in the meantime, stay tuned right here to learn more about some of the amazing PSVR games launching in 2021. So Matt Perslow over at IGN has a live recap that he's doing, talking about everything that's being announced, because this is still not over. It is still happening as we're going right now. So stay tuned to the PlayStation Twitter for all the updates here. So coming from Matt Purcell, the first game was Doom 3 VR Edition. Releasing March 29th, Doom 3 VR Edition is exactly what it sounds like. It's the survival horror-ish Doom game from 2004, including the expansion packs, given a VR makeover. That means peeking around corners, angling shots with flashlight-mounted weapons. Kev, if we could see some video, that'd be cool. And using a 180-degree quick-turn system to take on any hell demons who've got the drop on you from behind. UI HUD elements have been placed on a new wrist-mounted display for immersion. That's pretty cool. That's a smart way to handle that.
Are we worried about just the overall performance of... I think it's smart that they're going for an older game, but I feel like whenever Bethesda has come out with their VR games, they're usually kind of like, this was not what we wanted it to be. And I've never tried them.
Yeah, so from what I heard, it's like that was true when they first came out, but then over time they kind of like got patched into being in a good place. So hopefully they've learned and like understand like whatever the VR team over there like knows, you know, to how to get the product out there in a better fashion, like at launch. And especially, yeah, with something as old as Doom 3 from like that was on the original Xbox, you know.
Tim, when was the last time you put on a VR headset?
It was probably like I want to say like 3 months ago when the Linkin Park stuff dropped in Beat Saber.
Got it. Okay. Oh, no, but PSVR.
Oh, PSVR. I don't know. It was at the studio for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Same. I think mine was Everybody's Golf VR, where I fell in love with a woman and still haven't seen her. Haven't seen her in a while, Tim.
Yeah.
Wow. I hope she's well out there. She's the caddy. She's my caddy.
Yeah. Kev, yeah. When's the last time you used your PSVR?
Well, it's been a little while. I have the adapter, so like any minute now, I'll play the Iron Man VR. You know what I mean, guys? Any minute, I'll play that Iron Man VR game.
You got that going for you, Kev.
You know?
Yeah,
it was
one of those things, Kev, where when there was some game coming out that Greg was like, here you go. Oh, Dreams. When Dreams was sort of releasing, Greg was like, would you be interested in trying out Dreams? I know that you come from a 3D sculpting background with your 3D art and video game art. Do you want to try it out? I was like, oh, sure. And I was missing one of the peripherals because, of course, there's like 17 things you need. And one of the things was missing, and I just never got back to it. And I was really, really hoping. Also, my setup not super conducive to streaming or to VR placement the placement of my room. And I just didn't really have a whole lot of space for it, unfortunately. But I really wanted to get in there and do that sort of tilt brush kind of action.
Yeah,
with PSVR. Cool. I never got back to it.
I'm very close to being able to set my garage up to have my VR sled like permanently set up and the VR like camera moving it in a way that like I could play other VR titles and have a decent amount of space around me. So once that gets going, you know, I mean, it's not too late to jump in Dreams.
Kevin, here's what I see in your future, Kevin. Here's what
listening.
I see in your future.
I'm listening.
I see you figuring out VR programming and us setting up something very similar to The Void, where you have a room space VR where the walls are detectable, the cameras are set up in the garage, and they know when they know that little 2x2 block that you set up is a piece of a 3D asset in the world, and you can sit on that little bench. That's what I see in your future, Kevin.
Honestly, like, here's the thing. Like, that excited me to no end. And, like, the idea of, like, us having a TV up where we can be like, all right, now go up and blow on inside.
Yeah.
Make it feel more real, you know? Give that 4D experience.
Because, Kevin, I want the Void type thing. I want an explosion and a heat blast. Like, Kevin has Kevin has those Elon Musk flamethrowers.
Oh, hey, get close.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, man. The next game after Doom 3 VR was Song in the Smoke. Kev, if you could play the announcement trailer for this.
That's a cool title.
Check it out. It is. Song in the Smoke. I haven't seen the trailer for this yet, but just the thumbnail here looks dope.
If your title sounds like a Deer Hunter album, it just sounds great.
So Song in the Smoke from 17-bit comes Song in the Smoke, a VR survival game coming later this year. The game appears fairly traditional by survival standards, but it's the VR elements that look to enhance those mechanics. You'll need to use your actual hands to take meat from a killed animal, bring food to your mouth, mentally use tools to create tonics, and bring a knife to a piece of wood to carve it. The game has an early human look to it, with bows, clubs, and basic campfires, but there also seems to be a supernatural element too. This should make venturing out at night, when the game's most valuable rewards will be made available, all the more scary.
I'm not trying to fight a hyena.
That was a Wendigo, right? That was a Wendigo.
That's the thing, man. Like, what is it about deers that are just so fucking good at being creepy looking when they're, like, standing up?
They have the horse stare, but it's not as funny because they're smaller.
That might be it.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, Kevin.
I think there's just something dark behind their eyes, Tim. I don't know. I see what you're saying, though. There is something, some sort of mystical quality to them, except for when you live in San Marcos, Texas, which is the city kind of below Austin.
City of dreams.
It's a college town. You only go to San Marcos to go to college or die. Like, there's a lot of old people and just college kids getting drunk every weekend. Mm-hmm. But there are deer everywhere, Tim. Like, you wake up in the morning and there's just four deer just kind of in your front lawn, and then the neighbor has 12 out there, and they just sort of roam wherever they may. So they're less mystical there. They're more just kind of, you know.
But I'm talking about when they stand up on their hind legs. You know what I mean?
Oh, got it.
Like, they look more fucked up and scary than other.
Are they not
animals?
Just always like, standing up?
Wait, like Bambi's dad?
But like, no, on the back legs.
Yeah, isn't that how Bambi's dad stood up that one time? Like when I mean, that shot and it's like, oh shit, that's Bambi's dad, and he goes up and he's like showing off like an asshole, and then he fucking.
I'm more worried about what is their constant position, Kevin? Are they not always standing up?
They're always standing up. Saying standing up on their hind legs.
Yeah, like prairie dogs. Like prairie dogs.
Exactly. When a deer
so
prairie dog
in Indiana
it's
Jones.
Freaky. Our next game is called Fracked. Kev, if you could, play this teaser trailer as well. And they're saying that the audio is pretty loud for the videos, if you could turn that down a bit.
You know what? I mean, there are a lot of complainers is all I'm saying. Like, it didn't Fracked seem very loud on the numbers.
A first-person shooter set inside a mountain fracking facility that's been taken over by interdimensional maniacs. It's designed to be an over-the-top action game with skiing, shooting, climbing, base jumping, and ziplining, while also having a satirical story campaign to progress through. Developer In Dreams describes it as close to if Paul Verhoeven made a VR game, which sounds pretty rad. While created for PS4, it will also feature PS5 enhancements with improved frame rates, loading times, and resolution. It launches this summer exclusively on PSVR.
Oh, Paul Verhoeven directed Starship Troopers, Basic Instinct, Total Recall, and RoboCop. Wow. I was about to say, like, of course, my favorite guy named Paul, but I didn't know who he was. I had to Google him.
This looks cool, man. This is the type of game that I think VR works best for.
Seems like something's wrong. Like, they're complaining again. And, like, the audio was not loud that time.
I mean, they're saying DMCA because of the song, because of the Let It Snow.
Yeah, but, like, some other kids were, like, saying it sounded like Tim was talking a wind tunnel. Was that still? Well, yeah, I muted
it
afterwards to make sure.
I think they're just joking.
God damn it.
That game looked kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Tim, what really works for VR is not going for the realism aspect. I think just put you in a world and use minimal assets, minimal textures. You don't need anything too wild. Anything that's going to cause the frame rate to dip and make you want to vomit.
Yeah. Next up, I Expect You to Die Too, The Spy and the Liar. A sequel to VR's popular espionage puzzle game, I Expect You to Die Too, is a Bond/Mission Impossible riffing adventure.
Now that you've recovered from your last mission, it's time to get back into the field.
Oh, Kevin would love this.
I'm so upset I didn't play the first one more. Like, it's a disappointment.
I didn't know that was a part one. Until
Nick did a let's
two.
Play of it over on, I think it was the PSVR show on Kind of Funny Games.
Oh,
YouTube
really?
Channel.
Must have missed that.
Yeah.
They have a non-VR mode that we did a party mode on, right? Or that's... Or
no,
am I thinking
that's a keep talking and nobody dies.
Got it.
From one imposter to another. Yeah, you're right. Break a leg. Anyway, very cool stuff. Straight up 60s style James Bond insanity. So that's coming 2021 to PSVR. Next up, we have Zenith from Ramen VR. Zenith is a JRPG and anime-influenced MMO built for virtual reality. It has a colorful open world in which players can climb any surface and features fantasy real-time combat with swords, bows, and magic. World bosses, public events, and dungeons will all be available for multiplayer parties as well as a guild system. The game features traditional classes. They're not restrictive, though. Mages can tank and DPS roles can heal, meaning you can work as a team or solo no matter what class you choose.
No video there, unfortunately, but it's games like that, Tim, where I don't know. I think VR needs to be these bite-sized experiences that don't require you to try to level up and tell your friend to play a tank and you be the mage. And you're like games that require anything more than just pop in and pop out on VR. I just don't know if they have lasting power.
Yeah, it's weird where, and maybe, like, correct me if I'm wrong, chat, but I feel like VR hasn't had their big blowout game moment for that type of thing where it is this big MMO that people live in.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was the initial promise of VR, but then in actuality, I think you're right, where it is the smaller experiences that can be a little bit more tuned to a gameplay perspective for VR, as opposed to taking something established and putting it into VR.
Like, I know VR chat is very popular, but I don't know if anybody is getting out of work or getting out of school and saying, all right, time to pop into Zenith or whatever, because I need to do my dailies. Yeah. I need to do my dailies. I need to, you know, there's a public dungeon. We have a raid coming this Saturday where, you know, World of Warcraft still has that legacy 15, 20 years ago or whatever.
What is VR chat?
Yeah, about 15 years ago. VR chat is a big chat room when you're in VR, Kevin. You have an avatar for yourself. You can be Peter Griffin if you'd like, or you could be a little anime girl, or you could be like Rubber Ninja Ross of Game Grumps, and he had an artist commissioned him his own avatar. Somebody, he always draws himself a certain way, and he had an artist make a 3D model of that drawing. So that's him in game. And what he's planning on doing is having his community do meetups with him in VR chat, and they are making kind of a VR chat hangout space for him and his community, where there's a functional pool table. There's all this cool shit in this little area where people can just go meet Ross in VR and you talk to him, and it's all, you know, proximity based audio and shit. It's really cool looking. It's really neat.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
It's like people play Among Us in VR too, Kevin.
Looks like.
So this next one here is called After the Fall. After the Fall is a new FPS co-op VR game from Arizona Sunshine creators Vertigo Games. Set in alternate 1980s LA, players must shoot their way through a frozen, chaotic wasteland full of undead creatures called Snowbreed. These frozen undead are described as not unlike a pack of wolves, and you better believe there are different enemy types, including towering brutes that can instantly flatten you.
This is VR. After
the Cold War ended, we thought things could only get better. Then hell froze over. They're calling this the new Ice Age. Been 20 years. The 80s seemed to lurch from high to high. We injected every designer drug known to man. On a trip to be the best possible you. Playing tag with the hand of God. We scavenged what was once our home to get by. Take our chances with what was once human. All for the sake of our survival. The world was ours once.
All right, we get it.
This one, I want to see these wolves. I want to see these damn wolves.
Sorry. Get it back. Do we see them wolves?
Do we see the damn wolves? Oh, bigger monsters too.
Andy, this looks like that one game with the daddies and the little sisters.
BioShock?
Yeah, that's it. Oh. Is that not what they're called, right? I nailed that, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, BioShock isn't in a freezing area.
Isn't it what?
It's all kind of underwater and shit.
Yeah, all know? Right. But the same idea. Humans evolved too far. The world's kind of, like, in a bad situation around you.
I
thought you were talking about Left 4 Dead or a type of game where there are different, like there's a big enemy tank class and you get too close it explodes, you know, that sort of typical enemy, the way people make enemies in video games. I don't know. After the Fall, I mean, we played Arizona Sunshine for an episode of some Let's Play, and that whole time it was mostly me and Greg just trying to joke through it and kind of like, all right, how can we make this infinitely more interesting than it can? Because it's just shooting zombies. Zombies slowly walk towards you, and you just kind of got to click heads.
That's all you got to do. Got the man.
When's the next update? When's the next one?
So that's my thing. I'm trying to refresh now because I'd imagine it was about to be, it should be now, 10:30, but maybe not. So I'm just going to move on to the next story that is tangentially related. Sony's controller tech is literally bananas. This comes from the patent trawling section of gamesindustry.biz by Brendan Sinclair. For those that don't know, the patent trawling segment is games industry patents are an interesting mix of futuristic ideas, practical applications, and utter nonsense. They can tip a company's hand as to what it's planning next, give an idea of what they're thinking about certain parts of their business, or let us revisit old successes and see how they were originally envisioned. Patent trawling is intended to be a mix of all the above. Not everything featured here has seen a commercial release or ever will, but it will hopefully offer some insight into why the industry is the way it is and where it might be headed. So that's pretty cool. Today they looked into what might be a new PSVR controller. PS5 maker produces an unusual new interface and offers a look at what might be the new PSVR 2 controller. Game controllers have too much technology in them these days. Wireless connections, analog sticks, D-pads, shoulder buttons, face buttons, touch pads, microphones, blah, 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 blah.
Not enough potassium though, Tim.
Exactly, dude. Honey, we shrunk ourselves. Modern peripherals are often complicated, expensive, and a hassle to keep charged. Sony apparently wants to do something about that, according to a recently published patent application. Quote, it would be desirable if a user could use an inexpensive, simple, and non-electronic device as a video game peripheral, the application reads. The present disclosure seeks to address or at least alleviate some of the above identified problems. As you might have guessed from the headline, Sony's answer to the problem is bananas. Well, not just bananas. What the application describes is a method that works with any non-luminous passive object being held by a user. It could be a mug, a pen, a glass, or as in the inventor's preferred examples, bananas and oranges.
Tim, I'm just imagining the person who has to draw these pens like, you want me to draw on what?
he's just holding the fucking banana, man. God, I love this so much. A camera gets images of the items in users' hands and tracks the items based on pixels, contours, and or colors in the images rather than QR codes or other such tracking techniques. A game could either be trained to recognize objects as controllers or pre-configured such that users are told ahead of time what could be used as a controller. The application doesn't mention it specifically, but this latter application sounds like a more cost-effective way to approximate toys-to-life functionality in games. There's also a nice section on a two-object controller, which instantly translates to us as... Kev, scroll down just a little bit more to that bottom image there. Yes. No, go up one more. Yes. You can dual-wield bananas.
Of course you can.
Of course, sometimes motion controls aren't going to get the job done, and that's when this patent application proposes mapping virtual buttons onto the banana, possibly with the help of a camera mounted in a virtual reality headset. So yeah, shit's pretty fucking crazy. The best tweet that I've seen about this today was talking about how we haven't had an Ape Escape in a long time, and this would be a fantastic game to launch with.
It's a perfect fit. I do want to point out that patent trawling just really reminds me of transferring or something that Kojima would have come up in some sort of gimmicky way.
Yeah.
Patent trawling. I don't like that. I don't like the way it rolls off the tongue.
Anyway, will this ever happen? I'm sure that people want it to. This sounds a little crazy, but at the same time, I can't believe where we're at with phone technology or anything. So, hey, maybe one day we'll be playing on a banana. I don't think, personally, that'll be my weapon of choice, but, you know.
I mean, maybe they just, I mean, why can't they just track, you know, buy some gloves, buy some medical gloves. That's a way to track your hands.
But I mean, I don't want to hold a banana. This right here, Andy.
I don't want to hold a banana.
They just track the
Andy
fingers.
Cortez doesn't want to play as Gabe Logan, and he doesn't want to hold a fucking
and
banana.
And I don't want to catch them all, Tim.
He doesn't want to catch them all. He just wants to catch a couple.
I have a simple list of rules, okay, in the gaming sphere. I don't want to catch them all. I don't want to be Gabe Logan, and I don't want to hold a banana, okay?
God, I love it. All right, then moving on to another fun one, Andy. You actually submitted this one. This comes from Kotaku, which you accidentally called Jotaku earlier.
Well, I was trying to Google and I put Jotaku, and I just thought of like, excuse me, Mr. Taku. Just call me Joe, please. So I didn't even know this was really an article. I had just seen it on Twitter. And then turns out Luke Plunkett from Kotaku made it an actual article, how PS2 emulation gets even nicer with custom textures. The PCS X2 has been a long, fantastic PS2 emulator, but a recent advance has made it all the more appealing for anyone playing on a PC, the ability to swap textures in games, which is kind of a pretty common thing amongst a lot of different video games. It's how I played through a lot of Dark Souls 2 Remastered, or Dark Souls Remastered, rather, where they some PC modders added some better texture support. The problem is, though, if you open up the YouTube video in the article, Kevin, it works fine for some games, but you can't you can't just start modding stuff, Tim, if you don't really have an eye for art. So in some games it works, in some games it looks fine, but some people just go too, you know, all out with it. And towards the end, there's an actual timestamp for Crash Bandicoot, Kevin, and it just looks real bad. So this is how it looks originally, and then they add the modded version, they add the updated textures. Enough with the Madden. Here we go. So it just looks like garbage, Tim. And it's a way that,
not the prettiest game to begin with, but yeah,
well, compared to the original. Good. Yeah, I was seeing some people from Digital Foundry tweet about it as well, asking, wait, what was the lighting just baked into the textures? And it seems like that's how it was, where on the old textures, in order to fake lighting, you fake where the shadows might be on the mountain. Got it. But in here, they're just sort of doing a texture swap, a palette swap, and it just doesn't work at all because there's really no lighting that's working. You know, it just looks like ass. This is not what we want the future to be like. So what I hope is modders get sort of teamed up with some artists to kind of figure out what they want these things to look like, as opposed to just, let's just make this noisy ass mess. It just looks awful, Tim. Does not look great.
Can you go forward to the Dark Cloud, the next game?
Look at those stretch textures. Come on, Naughty Dog. It looks terrible. It looks awful. And then they will show you how it originally looks or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're not just supposed to replace a grass texture with
real grass. Here's a picture.
It just doesn't work. Stylistically, things aren't always going to work the way you want them to. And yeah, it's just kind of gross. But this is just the beginning of it. I hope eventually some people have a better eye for
These
games might look like.
I mean, dude, all of those, the Mario 64 raw PC like hacking that's been happening with like all the 4K resolutions. Have you seen that shit? It's incredible.
Yeah, Ocarina of Time as well. Really, amazing stuff.
Yeah, very cool.
And they use the Mario updated model as well, which is really cool.
Exactly. Very cool. Yeah. Before we move on, I want to tell you about our sponsors. Today we're brought to you by Honey. We all shop online and we've all seen the promo code field taunt us at checkout. But manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. They support over 30,000 stores online. Every time I'm trying to buy something online, it always is there for me. Honey always works. It's automatic. I don't even need to think about it. It just does the little dance. It applies the coupons to my cart and I'm saving money. I personally have saved thousands of dollars from using Honey over the last, as long as I can remember, honestly. So it was kind of funny. So so many people at Kind of Funny. Honey is just fantastic. It's easy to install. You do it once, never need to think about it again, and you are just saving money. It's literally free, installs in a few seconds. It's awesome. Go to joinhoney.com/games to get Honey for free. That's joinhoney.com/games. By getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. That's joinhoney.com/games. Next up, shout out to Logitech. Gaming headsets are important. You want a headset with a good mic, good sound, and a headset that that feels comfortable to wear. That's what's best about the G733 wireless gaming headset from Logitech G. The G733 Lightspeed wireless gaming headset comes with a 2.4 gigahertz wireless connectivity, front-facing dual zone light sync RGB. You know I love that RGB. Blue Voice mic technology, Pro G audio drivers that are awesome, and multiple colorways to choose from. It also has total freedom with up to a 20 meter wireless range with Lightspeed Wireless. I've been loving the Logitech G line. I use their keyboard. It's fantastic. Their headsets are very high quality. So you should definitely check this out, especially because it's available in multiple colorways, which I think is very important for tech. For a limited time.
That's how I click heads. That's how I click heads, then.
You use this Logitech G?
I use the G915 keyboard. I use the G Pro wireless mouse. I would never go back to any other device. Love them.
There we go. Logitech G is offering you guys express shipping at logitechg.com. But Andy, if you go to logitechg.com, make sure you use our promo code kindoffunnydailyfreeship31. That's promo code kindoffunnydailyfreeship31.
Rolls off
for express shipping today. That's express shipping for all Logitech G products with promo code KINDAFUNNYDAILYFREESHIP31. Hurry up, because this promo will expire soon.
Ask me what the promo is in 10 minutes, and I'll see if I can remember it.
KINDAFUNNYDAILYFREESHIP31.
KINDAFUNNYDAILYFREESHIP31. Got it.
Yes. And now it's time to shout out DoorDash. You want Chinese? They want pizza. And someone is craving Froyo. Sounds like Kevin's house. There's something for everyone on DoorDash. DoorDash connects you with the restaurants you love right now and right to your door. And now you can get the grocery essentials you need with DoorDash too. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items delivered in under an hour. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app. Choose what you want from where you want, and your items will be left safely outside your door with contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Australia, and now Canada, you can support your neighborhood go-tos or choose your favorite national restaurants like Popeye's, Chipotle, or the Cheesecake Factory, or McDonald's, which has their new spicy chicken sandwiches that you can get now using DoorDash. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. For our Canadian listeners, use code GAMESCA. That's 25% off, up to a $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021 in the U.S. and GAMESCA in Canada. Don't forget, that's GAMES2021 or GAMESCA for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. Back to it, Andy. We got two more stories to go through. Pretty quick ones. Valheim's success continues, passing 5 million copies sold. This comes from Jordan Alleman and Joe Screbbles at IGN. It shouldn't feel inevitable that an early access survival game will pass another million copies sold within the space of a week, but in the case of Valheim, it just does now. The game has now sold 5 million copies in 4 weeks on sale. Coffee Stain added that it's now been played for a combined 15,000 years.
Whoa!
Mm-hmm. It's the 39th best reviewed game on Steam and has been watched for 35 million hours on Steam.
I worry about stuff like this, Tim, because I always feel like devs, you get really overwhelmed. What do we do with all this new income?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like a sort of scary thing. It's got to be pretty terrifying to suddenly have this gigantic influx of funds. And where do we push it towards? You know, it sort of reminds me of Among Us, how they scrapped their plans for the sequel and immediately started to kind of just rework the original one, the one that sold so many. Mm-hmm. So, but luckily this is early access. This isn't like Among Us where it was out for 2 years. Hopefully they had an idea of where they were going and now they could just sort of fast track that and hire more people. But shout out to them. That's amazing.
See, Andy, you have a really good eye. You really are the number one games journalist. Because mm-hmm. what's awesome about this, I had this in here and I took it out because me and Bless already talked about it last week. But I think that there is this new trend of these smaller developers that, yes, you're right, are definitely overwhelmed with the amount of money, but they're making the right calls. I think Among Us like definitely set a good trend of, hey, focus on what's important with this money coming in. And it sounds like Iron Gate's doing the same thing here. The quote from the CEO of the developers of the game said, "I don't think I have really had time to contemplate it. I know that players like the game a lot, but at the same time, I think that I can make something even better in the future. I'm looking forward to adding more content to the game, especially working on the remaining biomes. Our current roadmap only reaches the next biome, and we hope to have it done by the end of next year, but it might very well take longer depending on how smooth the development will be. I really don't want to stress the development. That never ends well." So it's like, I love it. They have the right head on their shoulders looking at this, and they're not trying to get too ambitious or too crazy. They're trying to be transparent from the get-go of what the plans are and what they're trying to do. And the most important thing is taking care of the team. So
yeah, congrats. That's awesome.
Congrats to all the success. That is fantastic. 5 million copies sold is no joke.
And if you want to hear more about Valheim, Imran was on our Gamescast this past or yesterday, which is live right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And he talks all about it, why he loves it, what makes it different from games like Rust, and he also describes a bunch of funny ways that he dies.
Yeah. The Tube Tonic in the chat says, "Didn't Tim already talk about this like days ago?" I did. And that's why I was just giving Andy the old quote, but the news here is that since we've talked about it, another million copies have been sold. So, pretty damn crazy. The last news story of the day, AMD announces its mid-range Radeon RX 6700 XT. It costs $479. This comes from Kevin Lee at IGN. With NVIDIA rolling out its RTX 3060 earlier last week, it was inevitable AMD would answer in kind with a mid-range graphics card of its own, and now we have it. They just announced the Radeon RX 6700 XT, a new mid-range graphics card that aims to deliver 1080p and 1440p gaming at high refresh rates. It features 40 compute units, 12 gigabytes of DDR6 video memory, a whole bunch of other numbers, blah, blah, blah. But what it goes down to here is the Radeon RX 6700 XT also features dual axial fans with a zero RPM mode for cool and quiet running. Around the back, you'll find both DisplayPort 1.4 and HDMI 2.1 ports. So the GPU is capable of outputting a 4K signal at up to 120 frames per second. That's what's most important there. They promised the card will run games like Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Cyberpunk at higher frame rates than the NVIDIA RTX 3060 Ti and even the NVIDIA RTX 3070. The AMD Radeon RX 6700 XT will be available on March 18th for $479.
I need to educate myself on the world of AMD, Kevin. I really don't. I haven't kept up with AMD in a while. I know that people.
Big knobby, baby.
Make no sense, you know?
I know that people love the CPUs. A lot of people will pair an NVIDIA GPU with an AMD CPU, but I just don't know much about AMD GPUs.
That's the thing is like, at the end of the day, to me, this is very good news, is like the fact that there is the competition here, and especially the fact that like these graphics cards, there's going to be more out there to get into people's hands at a time that that's still an issue, across the NVIDIA line. It's good, especially when these cards, at least what they're saying, sound as good as they are, right?
Yeah.
And AMD really has kind of had a huge comeback in the last decade into being in the same conversation, especially when you do have a system that is built on the ecosystem, because all the components work together so well to enhance the experience. So them coming in with a good mid-range, like the more things with HDMI 2.1 and supporting the refresh rates, just means more games are going to focus on that stuff. So this is good for all of us that care about tech and pushing gaming forward in those type of ways.
I hope a bunch of crypto freaks don't get their hands on it, so just buying them all up. I'm tired of these crypto freaks, Kevin.
Those fucking freakers, man.
Yeah.
I'm looking back at PlayStation trying to see if they have added any PSVR games, and it doesn't look like they have, according to their blog.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think the next one's going to be? What genre? Let's make a bet right here. Mods, can we get a bet going in chat? What genre is the next PSVR game going to be? I'm going to guess it's going to be a sort of silly job simulator type PSVR game. Very quirky.
Nanobiologist in the chat says they already had all six announcements, didn't they? So there we go. And let's not bet.
Mods, put it up in the chat.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Damn it. That's unfortunate.
Andy's bet, the results to it, we're going to have to wait so long to find out.
Pizza bet.
If it's going to be that type of game. But if I want to know what games are coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. Do you only do that when Greg's gone?
It's only when I'm hosting.
When Tim's hosting. And everyone else gets really mad, when I do it. Yeah.
I appreciate you, Kevin. I appreciate you having it on the ready for me whenever I need it. Out today, Sir Lovelot on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. 3 out of 10, Season 1 on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and Switch. Cave Bad on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch.
Science Go Far.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Cave Bad and Science Go Far.
Bang On Balls Chronicles on PC.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Ew.
Like, that's kind of weird. Gravifier on Xbox One. Wind Peaks on Switch. Scrap Knot on PC. Some new dates for you here. Adios releases on Steam and the Xbox family of consoles on March 17th. And then coming soon to Xbox Game Pass. Now we have Madden NFL 21. March 4th, Football Manager 2021, Football Manager 2021 Xbox Edition, NBA 2K21, and then coming in March, we got Star Wars Squadrons. That's pretty cool. And then coming in April, console only NHL 21. This whole EA partnership with Game Pass, going far here, Andy.
Go get all them sports games, everyone. Go play 2K, but only offline. Don't play it online. Real bad.
Now it's time for reader mail, where you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and get your questions read on the show, just like Richard Oliver Bray. Now here's the thing, I couldn't tell. I tried going back and looking at the run of shows the last couple days to see what questions have been asked, and I couldn't confirm that none of these have been asked before, but even if they have, me and Andy have different answers than those fucking fools answering in prior times of yore.
Yeah,
Richard, haven't seen it, it's new to you, yeah.
Exactly. Richard Oliver Bray says, there's a lot of people on the internet saying Gears 5 is the best-looking game of the generation. What do you think? Andy Cortez, close your mind.
Gears 5, gorgeous.
Now reopen your mind. What's the best-looking game?
I think it's The Last of Us Part 2.
That's the thing, man. But I do think that Last of Us Part 2 and Gears 5, they have different things that they excel at. Like, oh, I think, man, the level of detail in Last of Us Part 2 is unrivaled. But there is a scope to, and like a scale that Gears 5 has that they just nail, and especially now with the Xbox Series X updates. That's the thing. We don't even know what Last of Us 2 PS5 could be.
I think what it is, Tim, is that Last of Us 2 Part 2 does incredible with realism, with facial capture, with, you know, just the facial shaders, with everything looking great, and realistic environments. But Gears is a showstopper because you put that shit on a big TV, it's going to be colorful. There's going to be crazy alien-type looking things that you've never seen before that are just made from somebody's imagination, and seeing stuff like that in high fidelity, I think is just a totally different ball of wax. Yeah. I think they're just different sort of styles, right? Obviously you have hulking dudes, you have Rahul's in one of them. Very, very different game.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing, is I think that obviously from a facial standpoint, animation standpoint, like that's where Last of Us really excels. And I think that Gears of War excels more in like the resolution frame rate type area, the HDR area of the tech graphic talk. And that's why I think at the end of the day, even with a next gen update, I think Gears 5 would get the edge, because that stuff's going to help that more than, it's not really going to enhance the animation of Last of Us that's so great. You know what I mean? But God,
I will say also games. Playing Cyberpunk on with ray tracing on, and being in those moments where you're talking to an NPC and you're having this really intense discussion or heartfelt discussion, and they are looking right at you, and it feels like a human is looking at you. It is those parts of Cyberpunk were legitimately, for lack of a better word, breathtaking. Yep. Like those moments where they are looking right at you, and their skin is perfectly lit, and the shading is just immaculate, and their hair looks great. And they have all these little human-type nuances that aren't just a person looking at you, talking to you with sort of a a generic idle animation that every other NPC has.
Yeah.
Everybody in that game feels so real when they are looking at you. And again, I played on a very powerful PC, so your experience definitely varies.
yeah, for sure. Other people are bringing up some good ones here. We got people saying Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, definitely. That thing is freaking gorgeous. And then a lot of people bringing up Ori 2 and Cuphead, which, my God, yeah, both of those games are 10 out of 10, gorgeous. But I do think that it's different. You guys know what we're talking about. We're talking about more from the tech level, even though it's like, yeah, those are undeniably 10 out of 10. Like, what I think is so great about both of those games and their art styles is they commit so hard to different, unique visions and actually succeed at kind of delivering from a gameplay and visual perspective exactly what they were going for. And it doesn't come across having that, like, new era flash look to it where it's like, or new grounds where it's like everything looks kind of stretched and pulled animation. It's like, no, this is beautiful hand-drawn animation. Or in the case of Ori, it's like it just has this glowy look to it that whenever we see other games that look similar, we're gonna be like, oh, that's Ori.
Playing, you know? Ori at 120 frames is really eye-opening. Like, it's so nice. And I, of course, you know, I played it on, I didn't play all of it, but it was on Games Pass, so why not just download it on my PC? And I had it at 60 frames. I was like, oh, let me up everything. And wow, it is stunning. It's really, really nice looking.
Shit is crazy, man. Let's see what else we got here. Dan writes in with a question that I'm pretty sure has already been asked, but again, fuck everybody. It's our show now. Long time, first time. With the news of a possible Bethesda event happening soon, what are you guys most looking forward to seeing at the Bethesda-focused event? Obviously, I'd love to see something on the next Elder Scrolls game, but something from Starfield seems more likely. Love the show. Keep up all the hard work.
Yeah, with Starfield, I mean, they've already mentioned it's coming before the next Elder Scrolls game. And you got to assume with that first sort of that first announcement, what was it, 2 years ago at E3? Years ago now? When was it?
2019.
This was was the Fallout 76 apology tour, right? That was the one where
yeah.
Was it?
Wait, yeah, now hold on. I think it was 2018.
Quarantine's really throwing me off, dude.
I think it was the one where they announced Smash Ultimate, or they debuted like the name Smash Ultimate.
No way. Oh my gosh. I've lost all sense of time.
Yeah, the chat's saying 2018.
Oh my gosh.
No, someone's saying 2019. Well, who knows?
I mean, I think it's inevitable that we see Starfield soon. I mean, it's crazy that you go that long without hearing anything about it since. And so, yeah, I think that's definitely the most likely thing. I don't think we hear about Elder Scrolls for another year or so. Yeah. Unless they go all out, Tim, and just have a big blowout and say, here's what we're doing on Starfield. Here's a little bit of Elder Scrolls news.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be insane. Now, here's the thing. My answer to the question is simple, and it's not a fun announcement of games or anything, but I just want some clarification on the PS5 Bethesda future. Like, I would love if there was just a definitive, simple, and, you know, from this date on, every game is exclusive to the Xbox, or, you know, these games will be featured on both things, but you might as well get Game Pass and get them free.
If you have Skyrim, we're going to go take it back from you, PlayStation owners. We're going to break into your house, steal it back.
Exactly. That's what I want to hear. But I just think that would go a long way.
I want Todd Howard to break into my house and just threaten me. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's a lot, Andy. Mm-hmm. It's time to squad up. You can go to somewhere. It's been a while since I've hosted this. Where do people go? Nanobiologists, where do people go? Let me know. It must just be patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, right? That makes sense.
Yeah, sure. That sounds right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin does it every day.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, I've never once listened. I need you to know this.
Why would you? Yeah.
Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to squad up, just like Zach's trying to do. He's playing on PlayStation. A little bit of 2. I haven't played since launch, but I have a character with 3 days of game time recorded and would really like people to run end game activities with. So cool. You guys could do that. His PSN is Cosmos, but it has eyes at the beginning and end to stylize it.
I always thought it was iCosmosy.
I-C-O-S-M-O-S-S-I on PSN. Hit up Zach.
We sure those aren't lowercase L's.
We are not, but if AIM has taught me anything, it's that you stylize with X's and I's, and that's it. No other letters can be used for stylization. Let's see. It's time for You're Wrong, which with this team, how could we?
How could we be? Is there really anything there? Is there?
Nanobiologist says you can pronounce my last name as Abramson.
Abramson. Got
it. I'm just not going to. I'm just not going to pronounce it.
I Nano. Mick. Nano.
But I'm going to, this is the type of thing that's going to stress me out. No, I just don't want to get it wrong. And I feel like I'm going to like mess it up in my head all the time.
It's hard for me enough to remember things, like just normal things that I should remember. The only things that I remember are memories that I think about that embarrass me from my, you know, just kind of those cringy moments. You're like, oh, why did I say that? It's the only stuff I can remember.
Kevin's saying, why don't I just learn to remember a name?
Let's for a second. Need like, a little bit you of have to self-awareness. You're trying to remember one name with one person that you talk. You said nanobiologist 15 times on this one show. What am I going to remember every movie star in every movie that I've ever watched? Come on. No, thank you, Tim. Like that's real but tricky. Like, I have the IMDb like, open and I look over. All right, I'm trying my hardest.
We're gonna when Loki comes out the show. I guarantee at some point you're going to be like,
what's his name? Loki?
What's his name?
And we're like, hey, man, if you don't have me on shows, that's totally fine. You just asked me to not be on shows anymore. You know what I mean? I can't. What am I supposed to do? I don't got the memory that you do. You know what I mean? Like, I don't got the names. I got other stupid facts in there taking up Loki's name sometimes.
Sometimes. just sometimes.
Hey, things are moving and shifting around.
Yeah, things are moving and shifting.
Let's see.
Nano says the Fallout 76 apology tour was 2019 since the game came out in 2018.
So yeah, there we go.
Nailed it. Good job, everybody. 10
out of 10.
10 out of 10. It's a 10 out of 10. Love you guys. We will return later. It's a TikTok thing. If you're watching live on Twitch, guess what? The stream will continue. Greg Miller is playing something. What's he playing? Do you know, Kev?
Outriders demo with Outriders. Michael Howard.
There we go. Tomorrow, you got Greg and Paris hosting. That should be exciting. And then we have Blessing and Michael Hyam on Friday. The Dream Team. Will they do it from the same room? Probably not, but I can dream.
We've certainly asked them to.
Thank you very much for joining me today. How has your Games Daily experience been?
It's been a lovely time. A lovely time, Tim.
Hell yeah, man. What a blast. And that blast is going to continue in the Patreon exclusive post show that's about to start right now. Is that right, Kev?